Major David Kath, good morning. It's Military Monday. How are you?
Good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
He sounds very serious today, doesn't he?
He's cold.
No, I'm very serious because you made me think about coffee, and I just want to make a point. Is that, and this I found out the hard way, by the way, is that low-fat milk is the only milk that froths. If you try and use a full-cream milk and you put it in that frother, you're going to sit there the whole day and not get a result. It's got to be a low-fat cream. Low-fat milk. A low-fat milk.
How does one find that out the hard way?
Well, after using pints and pints of full-fat milk to try and get a decent froth onto my coffee, one day by mistake, we bought the low-fat version and it worked. You know, sort of like a Madame Curie type moment. And, so that's what I'm saying. I don't want people to have to go through the same process that I went to and repeat all those mistakes. So just go for your low-fat
milk. So low-fat milk actually froths best.
Absolutely,
it shows, Isn't that what we only learn on Military Mondays?
I mean,
who would have ever thought? A wealth of information.
Sure.
All right, so David, one thing we do want to learn more about is what is going on in northern Mozambique. We spoke last week to Jasmine Opperman, who is very involved in this field, and she tells us quite alarmingly as to what's going on there. South Africa now being warned to stay out of this conflict. I thought that was quite strange. Her take was that it's almost drawing attention to it by ISIS saying stay away. They're saying we are here, because I'm pretty sure that South Africa wasn't actively considering it, especially at the moment. Give us your take, your update, your thoughts on what is going on with this ISIS insurgents into northern Mozambique.
Okay, so this has been an insurgency that started in 2017 with a peace settlement up north between Renama and Frelimo, and obviously it's in a province called Cabo Delgado, and obviously both parties didn't satisfy the political aspirations of the people there, who have been totally overlooked economically. There are huge gas fields going up in proximity to this area, and none of the knock-on benefits from these gas fields, whatever, have got back into this population. So you've got the usual mix. You've got a deprived population, economically deprived population. It's a major smuggling route for timber, rubies, drugs that get into South Africa. It's just got a perfect storm. It's got that right mix for some political power to come in and take on the vacuum. And it's also a Muslim stronghold. It's a Muslim province, predominantly Muslim province. And so ISIS has come in and filled the gap there, and is making inroads into an area that's been neglected by the central government. So that's the scenario that we have over there. Are the South Africans taking part in trying to repel this latest insurgency? Well, there's been reports of South African mercenaries by a group called DAIC Advisory Group, and I took the opportunity of going onto the website and seeing exactly who DAG is, DAIC Advisory Group, and this is their
it's
logo on the top.
Fortunate name. What are they called?
DAIC, DYCK, DAIC Advisory Group. That's probably shoring up the DAIC, you know, something like that. Or maybe named after one of the mercenaries.
I think maybe we could possibly help them with their marketing.
And the logo goes
about it. Could do better.
DAG is capable of rapid assessment of stated problems and subsequent sourcing and required solutions. The appropriate solutions will then be put into place by DAG in an advisory capacity. So here you have a whole sort of military turnkey operation. They come in, they have a look at what your problem is, and they go around about sourcing different solutions, and they will come in and sort out your insurgency position. And apparently now they've supplied a few helicopter gunships up there, and they did, together with the Mozambique forces, they were able to repel ISIL out of this little village called Mokomboa da Praia. And here we are. But I don't think they've solved any of the political solutions down there. And, I mean, this insurgency is just going to carry on until the economic and the political solutions are solved.
But what's the end game here for ISIL?
The end game for ISIL is always to get a movement going in disaffected areas where the youth have no purpose. And they provide the youth with purpose, and that's how they propagate their ideology amongst disaffected Muslim populations throughout the world. So that's what the end game is. It's probably to destabilize the area and grow the revolution. And they are going to be pretty successful until such time as there is a early military intervention to stabilize the region. And here's where the hard part comes, always the hard part. And allow for the central government to establish some type of economic solution up there and uplift the people so that they don't feel that they have no purpose and that they're obligated to join some type of an ideology, a destructive ideology. So that's where we are at the moment. Does South Africa have a duty towards this area, towards SADC? Do the SADC nations have a duty? I would say definitely, because we are committed as a regional superpower. We are committed to peacekeeping operations and peace enforcement operations in the area. I mean, it's going to help us to make sure that this area is stable, because all that can happen now is that this shifts downwards, and we need to intervene early in the conflict. And also the opposition party, the opposition party in South Africa supports an intervention there by the looks of it. If I'm reading it early, and I think it's the right thing to do, is that we need to go in there and give some type of support. Is it opening ourselves up to problems? Certainly. I mean, we have a large Muslim population here. Some of them are going to be sympathetic to the Muslims up there, and I mean, it can cause all types of problems back here for us. So that's where we are.
My question is, why have we been quiet for so long? Because, I mean, we have been seeing reports, but I feel like now the movement has gained some significant traction. Why have we been quiet for so long?
Yeah, I think that's important. I think some of the forces that have been deployed up there now, I do believe that there are forces deployed up there, and some of them are special forces, and whenever South African special forces operate in the area, it's veiled in a cloud of secrecy. I mean, for obvious reasons, the identity of special force operators are always secret, and their operations are secret. Whether the South African, and I think the South African government, I don't know if it's admitted it, but there were questions asked by the opposition party as to whether we had deployed anything up there, and they said, let's not do this in an open forum, let's do this in a closed forum, and that's almost admitting that there's something happening up there. And I think South Africa's been in an invidious position. First of all, economically, we are in a lot of trouble where we are right now. Militarily, I mean, we're not at our strongest. We've got huge problems in the military as far as funding is concerned. And now we're going to go and try and undertake an operation up there. It can't be half-hearted. We've seen what happens when these things are half-hearted. And so that's why the government, I think, has taken a little bit of a back seat on this one. And being very careful what it says, and being very careful to make commitments that we can't afford to make, and that we need to be successful at.
The other concern, I mean, without meaning to be rude, but we can't even march in formation here in South Africa. How are we? What are our chances on?
Okay, look, I have to say this. I totally disagree with that. That was nonsense. You know, that was a practice march, or whatever. I know what you're saying.
And it was windy. It was Musenberg. It was windy.
Kathy Kaler, I remember that day. Kathy Kaler sent me a thing to say, look at how we're marching. It's absolute disgrace. I said, Kathy, please, this is a practice session. These are the guys that set up all the bandstands, whatever. And I mean, to get 1,500 troops that haven't practiced before to march in time is going to be an impossibility. So let's dispense. Which doesn't mean that the South African military is not facing challenges at this stage of the game. They're facing real, real challenges. Right. I mean, you can see where the country is at the moment.
Right. And, I'm giving you a hard time, David.
We are facing our own other challenges, where our members are superannuated, supernumerary, and we are really struggling to put effective fighting forces down the ground in times of trouble. So we have those challenges at the end of the day, definitely.
Right. But the other thing is it South Africa's responsibility? I mean, surely SADC, the AU, the other Western powers should be getting involved here. Because does South Africa really want to draw attention to itself in this way? Now, we know that there's never been, if you just look at history, look at the most glaring example was the Nazi or Germany's pact with Russia to keep them out of the Western front so that they could do what they needed to do there, and then these things where they said, say South Africa don't get involved, and we'll leave you alone. Well, we know that's patently untrue.
Look, I understand people's concern about us becoming embroiled in a situation, a Vietnam type of situation up north in Mozambique, and now taking on ISIL and having all the threats back here at home of bomb blasts and that type of thing. I understand those, and I share some of those issues also together with a lot of people. But you asked me, do we have a duty to the region?
And do we have a choice?
to the Southern African region. And certainly we have a duty. I mean, I've said it before. We have peacekeeping duties. We have offensive duties up here in Southern Africa. So we have a duty. We can't walk away from it. And if we just bury our heads in the sand and hope for this to go away, it's not going to happen. It's right up here on our border. It needs to be taken care of. We have to become involved in some way or another. Whether we need partnerships within Southern Africa to take us on as a joint SADC type operation, I would agree with that also. But, I mean, all these countries around us are suffering from economic problems. They look to us as the regional superpower to take care of these issues. I'm sure the West is also looking to us to take care of these issues. If we box cleverly here, we may get funding from overseas. We may get funding from the West to tackle this type of thing. It may be actually an opportunity to deploy our forces correctly into northern Mozambique with a lot of funding and backing from the region and internationally. So it may be looked upon as an opportunity. I believe it would be a mistake to turn our back on this and hope that it would go away, because this is not going to go away unless we deal with it, and we're the only ones that really at the end of the day have the infrastructure to deal with something like this.
So your view is we do need to get involved. We do have the ability to get involved, and we have an absolute duty.
Well, I think we've got the duty. Whether we have the ability or not, I'd say right now I have my concerns whether we do have the ability. Okay. I mean, we're in an economic problem over here. We have our own little problems, and the military is also in quite a weak situation. So I don't know as to the ability, but I think we certainly have a duty, and we certainly need to try and build up our ability to go there and make a difference. I mean, I honestly believe that. We can't leave it alone and hope that it's going to go away. I think that's going to be disastrous.
David, Anonymous is saying, hasn't known training for ISIS been taking place within the South African borders in any event for a while?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I'd like to see documentary evidence to that. Mm. I don't think there's anything hard and fast about that. I have no doubt that there are ISIS operators and other nefarious operators within South Africa doing their various things, but I don't know if there's ISIL training camps in the middle of South Africa. Mm. I'm not sure about that. I haven't seen documentary evidence, and I mean, I can't even comment on that because it's just difficult to get a grip on it.
And Madeleine saying, so did David just call South Africa a superpower?
Yeah, certainly.
Madeleine. Where's your national spirit?
And he said it with his chest.
Yes, puffed out. No, yes. I mean, he's not in studio, but we pictured it. Zanati, we could picture that. David stood tall when he said that.
Absolutely. Well, I stood up at attention when I said that. And I mean, certainly we are a regional superpower. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we've got certain duty as I'm saying a regional superpower. We're certainly not a world superpower. Mm. But having said that, and we've discussed this before on this program, South Africa politically boxes way above its weight on the international stadium. We certainly have, and we've always played a role in world history for the last couple of years, for even the last 100 years, 100%. Way above our political punching power. I mean, we've seen it. We've had international statements, Jan Smuts, Thabo Mbeki, Nelson Mandela, those guys going out of there doing brokering peace deals all over the world. So if you turn around and say, are we a super international superpower, I'd say to you, no, probably not, but we certainly have a lot of influence in the world. Yeah.
Right. Mike saying, SA mercenaries are still the best in the world from Angola and Bush wars, but they're also illegal. These mercenaries are operating in Mozambique. No standing army in Africa has yet to overcome ISIL forces. Well, as we've discussed many times in the segment, it's a different type of warfare, and that's one thing we've learned with the Military Mondays is that there are different types of warfare, and that this isn't your normal. So it just has to be treated somewhat differently.
No, I mean, are you asking me, as South African privateers, are these people very effective? Absolutely. I mean, they were deployed to Nigeria to fight Boko Haram, and they were very, very effective out there.
Right.
So South African ex-soldiers have something to offer in the military field, and it's not unknown in the world today. I mean, if you look at Iraq, there are so many privateers, non-South African privateers, operating in Iraq, Afghanistan. It's the new way of doing war, is that you subcontract certain aspects of your warfare out to privateers. So, I mean, it's the new way of doing things out there. And not really the new way, because that was centuries ago. We discussed that before also, is that wars were fought by privateers. not citizen armies. It was Napoleon that brought in citizen armies. And so
okay, and finally, Bern says skimmed milk is 2%. Fat-free is 0%. I didn't know that. Bern, are you sure about that? Zanati, Google the hell out of that, please. And Bern also saying coffee must have cream or full cream. No, I don't know if I agree with that, but we need to verify that. Major David Katz, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. We'll catch you next week.